Can we come sit a little closer like a family? Like just as much as you can, just come in. That's why I'm sitting down here. I worked all week and I put a message together, but I think the essence of the message the past few nights has kind of burned in my soul. And so I didn't really want to get up on stage and try to perform a message because I'm still not comfortable, because I still kind of feel like an outsider. Like the first church I preached at, it was a little country church in Alabama. And I was close to some of these people, and it was very loving, and so I was confident, and I was able to be myself, and I didn't want to try to deliver this message, or that message that I wanted to, and still been a little uncomfortable. That's why I wanted y'all to get together like this. Like, guys, I left everything that I have to come up here. I left my parents. My nieces, my nephews, my siblings. We left all our friends and all our family. Sold what we owned. And we're not up here trying out churches. You know, we're not seeing which one we like and then picking the one that we get along with everybody the best, or has the best this that suits us. We're here. You know, and I guess I kind of look at it as my two youngest children, Frank and Callie, they love to fight. They love each other, but they love to fight each other. you know, they do, and we know how siblings are. They love each other, but you don't get to choose them. So sometimes it's just, it's a rough go. And that's, you know, that's the way it is with us. But some of us in here, some of y'all have more of an option to choose. You may live around here. I don't. I'm here. We're here. So, and I know, and I've learned that going out and meeting strangers and doing acts of kindness and having a conversation, all that stuff is so easy. It feels good. It is good. But where the meat and potatoes of Christianity comes in is when you're able to stick with a person for a long time and build that relationship with all the everything that comes with that person. And it's a difficult thing to do. Most of us don't want to do it. You know, we want to find who suits us and so forth. But the past few nights, me and my son, we set up just combing the scriptures. Like we went through probably almost the entire New Testament. And the message, it was the same message all throughout. As far as once you become into the family, it's such a simple message. It's God wanting us to, and it says it differently, but the one aspect of it, Jesus spoke about crucifying, pick up your cross daily, you know, die to yourself, different ways, hate your life. If you hate this life, you know, you'll keep it. If you love this life, you'll lose it, yada, yada. Paul. No yada yadas, I'm sorry. Got my coach right here. Paul talked about it, crucifying the flesh and so forth, and then walking in the Spirit. And it all sounds like what does this mean? What's the point of it all? And we realized it's the same teachings of your attitude towards everyone, especially God's children, your brothers and sisters, throughout the entire scripture. It was the same simple message of love. No matter what. Not love because somebody's kind to you. Not love. Just loving that person. Learning to deal with these relationships. Be empathetic to one another. To quit focusing on ourselves so much. And that's what I get from Jesus. That's what we got from it. Because I think, you know, we looked at what is church. And then now, you know, we'll have churches have ministries. We have these big buildings. We have the music thing. You know, it's just so much. And it's almost like, what is Christianity? What is the essence of being a Christian? And me and my son, me and Chase, look back at the early church, and I realized, so number one, what do they have? Because the scriptures, from what we could tell, they were capable of living a full Christian life. I said, okay, well, let's compare. I said, what do they have? They had no money. They had no ministries. They had no churches, no big buildings, no music setups, no. All they had was each other and God. And that's all you need, and that's the essence of it. And it was those relationships. And I realized, and I noticed a lot of time in myself, you know, we talked about it last time, the spiritual growth, I did the goal thing. Sometimes we think we're on some level, but then God easily shows me sometimes something, and you think you are when everything's going your way. But when something comes in that you don't like or that bothers you, disturbs you, God will show you, if you're listening, very quickly where your focus is. There's either two things you'll be focused on, yourself or God. There is no gray area. And how quickly we get offended, how quickly we get angry, how quickly we get any bit of that emotion that comes from what somebody else said or done, or it shows where we are. And because my mind always expands when I read the scriptures. Like I said, we found that simplicity. And then spiritual growth. You know, there's tons of books. What is spiritual growth? From what me and Chase seen, all spiritual growth is your attitude. That's all it is. When Paul told the Corinthians, you're acting like babies, he didn't say you're acting like babies because you don't have a certain degree, because you don't have enough biblical knowledge, because you don't pay enough money, you don't do this or that. You're an immature Christian because your attitude to one another. It's like it was one was taking another to a secular court. TV didn't like something I did. He's going to take me to court and sue me. Paul, if you put us in that situation, Paul would be looking at me. He said, or TB, he said, just take the wrong. Don't work it out. Just take the wrong. He said, you're acting like babies. And that's, we've complicated church and everything. It's so simple. That's what we realize, because my mind loves to complicate everything. I guess y'all seen it the first time I taught. And, you know, and I complicate what y'all hear, and it's all messed up, and it's a waste of time. So I wanted us to talk about that for a minute. Guys, when you get to know me, I am not a fake person. Like, you'll know where I stand, and I don't mean that like I have a prideful stance. What I mean is, give you an example. I got saved when I was 20. I was a very wild person. I'm not going into long testimony, but, you know, I've been through hell. I've put people through hell many, many times. Some very bad stuff that I've seen and been a part of and put people through. Well, I got saved. You know, my heart was devoted to God and was going to church and so forth. Well, me and God got into it. That's a story for another day, why. But, you know, I didn't understand Scripture. I couldn't figure it out. At that time, didn't know how to study, didn't have the right teachers around me. So I finally told God, forget it. You know, I threw my Bible down. I said, you know, if you want me, I said, I'm devoted, if you want me, explain this to me. I can't figure it out. It's running me crazy. You know, it was that legalism in my mind was driving me crazy. For, I don't know what, 8 years? For 8 years, I did not go into it. I went to a church twice, maybe. I buried my brother and maybe a couple of grandparents. I did not go into a church, not one time. The reason I didn't, I never seen a point. Now, we're in a small town. It's not like, I mean, this town's not necessarily a small town, but, I mean, this is a town where, you know, I had a son at that time. We had Chase when we were 17, so I already had a kid. You know, and you're talking, nothing else. You go and pretend that, you know, you do the fake Christian, the fake church thing. But I don't, conformed that way. I never have. I don't like phoniness. I don't understand why we just don't talk. I'm like that with families. I see, I went through stuff with my parents, and I never understand. I can talk to both sides. And I see people split, and I see people fight, and I think this is stupid. Like, anyway, getting back to what I'm trying to bring that in, I'm sorry. Since my character is like that, that I don't like the phoniness. And I see that clearly that God wants us to love each other above everything. Love each other deeply, to bear each other's burdens. I don't want to keep coming here. I'm devoted here. Like I said, I'm devoted here. And I'm not to this building, not to New Life. I'm devoted to Jesus and devoted to y'all. And I don't want to do the church thing here. I don't want to do the Sunday's the big day, you know, get your khakis on. And I mean, that's fine. I mean, all that stuff is good if we've got things going right within ourselves, but that's not what it's about to me. And I don't ever want y'all to look at me that way. I want y'all to know that I'm as real as you can get. I'll tell you quickly, I am messed up as much as y'all are. If we look at ourselves in reality, you know, take away the pastor from TB, take away executive pastor Jimmy, take away, where's Alan? Where you at? Take away youth pastor. Take away the youth. Take these labels away. All we are is, every one of us are children of God. Amen. And we're messed up children, I promise you. We don't do anything good and don't have anything unless it comes from God. So not one of us can think we're above the other one. And we shouldn't esteem another above the other. Don't esteem TB because he's a pastor, because he's much, we can respect, but respect him as much as you do me, or as much as you do my wife, or Kevin, or anybody else. Does that sound like I'm being a little, sorry, I'm talking a love sermon or love message, I'm kind of hateful. You better love each other. It's tough love. I've been a part of several churches, and it's the same all over the country, guys. It kind of reminds me like we've built Jewish temples again. You know, we call this place the house of God. Like, it's the big place we go to. It's all about this place. We leave, you know, we have our own rule. Pick out a few scriptures that we like that fits in our denomination. What we don't do, what the Baptists, what do we don't do? Drink, smoke, and cuss, or whatever. Like, we pick the ones that we ignore, the ones we don't like. We pick the ones we like. This is our rule book, you know, and we have this Pharisaic mindset sometimes. Like, church is the big day. When the music, when the preaching's over, when the event's over, it's like something's cut off, and we go back to, we're Jews. I don't know. I mean, it's weird to me. Like, to me, wherever we meet, whether it's here, me and Chase watched the Chinese church. Man, these jokers will hide out, because it's illegal over there, it was, will hide out in caves for 10 hours a day, in caves, 10 hours. Imagine that. Imagine how bored we are for 5 minutes sitting alone now. 10 hours a day hiding in caves, at nighttime at 10, come out, meet in cornfields. I know y'all know what a cornfield is, to preach and praise God. Now think about that. How many times this week have we complained about something? Complained about something in the church, or something we're doing or not doing, or jealous of somebody, or, you know, pissed off about something. I mean, all of us, unless one of you in here are above that, but for the most part, I assume we're all messed up, and we all have those same human emotions that we go through. We don't have to. I just think we're bought into this culture. We're bought into this American Christianity culture, and we just go through the mechanics sometimes of it. Guys, I didn't do this radical thing to go through the mechanics of Christianity, of American Christianity. I came up here to try to set an example, but also to be led by y'all as well. To expect people to encourage me, to expect people to care about the scriptures, to care about me, to love me. Don't look at me as somebody to shake hands with and come in here on Sunday and smile and say, my life's good. Look at me as somebody, if nobody else, say, how are you doing? Because I promise you, I need your prayers. every day. I do. My family does. I want you to be empathetic towards me, guys. I really do. I want you to be concerned on how I'm doing. I want to be concerned on how y'all are doing, how your life's going. I don't care that the smiles and shake hands. That's good. But I grew up with that, and then I grew up seeing hell in households, and it's sick to me. And I'm not going to raise my family like that, and I don't want us to do this phony stuff. Like, you know, I want us to meet together and this be an extension of our worship and our prayer life and our devotion to God out there. Like, this should just be an extension. We should already be on fire. This should just be a pile of gasoline that we come to. Going back to what, you know, me and Chase noticed, that was the simplicity of it. Love each other deeply. How do we do it? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. One thing I do know, no phoniness. If nothing else, if you're hurting, don't keep hurting alone. You can come to me anytime, anywhere, I promise you, because I want to know that y'all are free for me to come. If something's bothering me, I don't care if I screwed something up, I can come to you and say, hey man, I'm hurting, I messed something up, you know what I mean? You know, I need to pray about it and help me through this. I mean, guys, this stuff is real. I mean, do we believe it's real? Amen. Do we believe that God is real? I'm serious. Do we believe we are aliens in a strange land now, that this is a fallen kingdom ran by Satan that God allowed? It's ran by man but controlled by Satan, that we were born in the Spirit. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. That God takes sin so seriously that he crushed Jesus. He puts lying and gossiping and slandering right there with murderers. If God takes it that serious, how serious should we take it? We just look around, and I think what's going to be sad one day, we're going to sit in front of that judgment seat. And that was beautiful this morning. You did the cut-up head and all that stuff. I love that. We're going to sit there one day, and a lot of these American Christians that we copy are going to be goats. We're going to sit there and realize that we copied an American church that we say, well, you know, we see Scripture where it tells us to live a certain way, to devote ourselves. Everybody else isn't doing it. You know, they get to go to church and then live in the world, live in greed, live in envy, live in jealousy, seek after money, seek after to build a better life for themselves, to not care about the poor, those in need. Everybody else is doing it. God hasn't struck them dead. It must be okay. I'm afraid we're going to get there one day and realize when them angels separates those goats from those sheep, you're going to look over and see a lot of those people we were following were goats, guys. Because if you look around the world at places like China, and don't we want growth here? Absolutely. Look at China, one of probably the fastest growing place of Christians in the world. They don't have anything. You know what they got? Yeah. They got love for God on the inside. Right. In prisons, in beatings, nothing else can stop them. They look like the original Christians. They don't complain living in caves. And I've complained as much as anybody for, you know, how the temperature is in church sometimes. This is, you know, and I've been ridiculous. Nitpicking, selfish, focused on myself. What did we read Paul went through? That was the version we was reading. But gracious, man, Paul went through. You said this morning, Paul said, imitate me. I thought about that. I think, you know, it's become mechanical that we read Scripture and don't really stop and think for a minute what it's saying. Imitate me. What all did Paul say? Beaten with rods at one time. Beaten with rods. Homeless. Thirsty. Not that one. It was the other one. He was him and the apostles. Not that one by himself. The scum of the earth, as he called himself, or they called him. I mean, it was just, imitate me. Now, he doesn't mean you have to go do these things to be accepted by God. But whatever we have to do, it's whatever God's will is. If it comes to that, would we rejoice in that? If we knew that's God's will, would we rejoice like the Chinese are doing? Would we be packed up in a room like this? You know, no air conditioner, no lights, no nothing, just packed up like sardines, sweating, smelling each other's sweat and stinking, and you know what I mean? I'm serious. And just crying and praising God and loving each other, not wanting a title or not jealous because so-and-so's got a title or you know, not griping over anything, guys. Am I getting kind of hateful? I sound hateful. Y'all, please, whenever I speak, and I promise you I'm still getting used to speaking in public, one-on-one I'm a lot better. I get excited. It sounds hateful. I promise you it's not hateful, guys. While y'all were at the concert last night, I was on my knees praying for y'all. I promise you I don't hate you. I love y'all. And I don't know how to get God's children to love each other. I don't understand. I don't understand why a lot of the world, the Christians, the things I hear. We got friends that are people in Africa and Honduras, and I hear about how these Christians love each other and live, and it breaks my heart, because a lot of it is they have to risk their lives to even get to each other sometimes. And we don't realize how blessed we are. And I'm as bad as anybody, I promise you. This isn't a me on y'all. This is, I thank God, to us. This is scripture to us, I promise you. I don't know. God wants us to bear each other's burdens. I don't know how that even starts. I don't know. I mean, the wall has got to come down sometimes. Somebody's got to step up in some situation, whether I'm hurting. To go to anybody and say, I don't know who to go to. I'm hurting on the inside. Do you know somebody in the church I could talk to? Or I don't know, guys. But I want to get to that place to where that stuck. You said that a few weeks ago. Have each other's backs. That's one of the things that stuck in my mind. Is me looking at y'all like I do my wife and my kids. Knowing I would die for y'all right now. Knowing I've got your back. Knowing there is literally a demonic kingdom that wants to kill you, that wants to kill your family. It's not a, it's not a fairy tale. It's real. And that we're going very soon to be with Jesus. And that's it. And once we go, that's it. What are we going to hear? Well done? Amen. Well done? Or, come on in because I bought you anyway, but, you sit and bickered in the bleachers while you were there. I don't want to hear that. I'm trying to figure out how we just start loving each other and I'm not saying y'all don't, I don't know. Maybe y'all do. Maybe there was so much love here before I got here. I don't know. I doubt it. Unless y'all are the one church in America that I doubt it. I'm sure we're like everybody else because I'm like everybody else and we're all the same, but it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way, guys. I've been a very prideful person a lot of my life. So I promise you, it's not easy for me to tone down my pride. I've been patted on the back and all that. When you had all that garbage your whole life, you think you're better than people. I promise you, I thought I was better than so many people so many times. I always wondered how below me people were sometimes on different levels. It's sick, but that's what our culture is. It's that mindset of pride, I'm better than, of competition. And I'm really wanting to be done with it completely. I don't know how to do it, but this is my plea to y'all. If nothing else, just know that I am praying for, I don't know you all by name, I don't know, but as a group and some I do know by name that I've gotten close to, I'm praying for y'all, and I love y'all, and I want to feel loved by y'all. I've got a great gift, guys. I've got a gift of pissing people off sometimes, I promise you. I think Alan's been blessed with my gift sometimes. We've lived together. But it's not intentional. Just take me sometimes as I am, and please have mercy on me and forgive me when I make you mad or do something you don't like, and I'll do the same. I'll do the same. Don't go home and talk about me to your wife or your kids or whoever. Go home and pray for me, and I'll do the same. And if somebody starts talking about me, say, hey, we don't, if it's, how it shouldn't be, if it's just a tearing my character down, say, let's build him up. Let's pray about him. Let's don't do that. And I'll do the same. I promise you I'll do the same. We can do everything. We can do all the ministries. We can do everything else. That's great. But I promise you this is the most important. How our heart is with God and how our heart is with each other is God's first concern. Look at the early church. They had nothing but themselves. And if they lived correctly, they could have been, quote, almost perfect Christians. God's concern is his people, loving each other and being like him. That's my plea. If y'all have any ideas how to keep growing in love, I don't know. But I'm telling you, I'm here. I'm free to listen, free to talk, whatever. Like I say, I'm not perfect and never pretend to be. I've been through a lot, put people through a lot, so don't ever think you got to be ashamed of nothing with me. None of you have to ever be ashamed of anything you've done in the past or you do now around me, I promise you. Yeah? Did I run you off? She didn't want to get stoned, did she? Good. Is that all right?
Amen.
Did it make sense, or did it just scramble again? And like I say, I don't remember everything I just said. If I said something offensive, or just let it go. I didn't mean it personally. I promise you. Ma'am, I appreciate being here, guys. And I have felt loved being here. I didn't mean to. This was, you know, I mean, TB asked me to preach again, and I put together some good. Now, it was going to be a good message, I thought, but I still had that outsider feeling. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this no more. It's like I said, we're here. We sold everything. We're here for God and here for y'all. So, anybody. Does anybody have anything to add to it? We're a family, guys. Hey, look, guys, we're a family. Yeah. That's what we are. That was why I brought us together like this. I love sitting with my family on the couches or the kitchen table. It's almost like we're having a family dinner, like in Callie's on the chandelier and Frank's at the front door. And it just doesn't, like, right here, it just feels, I mean, y'all even seeing y'all together. And I'm sure, ask TB or Randy, it feels more like a family when you speak like this. I mean, we're more like a unit. I think this is how God sees it. He doesn't see us sprout out as individuals. He wants us right here together like this in different ways. Does anybody have anything to add or to correct me or get on me about? Or? Thank you. Because that clicks me to love them as a person and move forward and respect them as a person and feed them.
You better, because he's going to dig into it, because he knows, he wants to know how you're doing, and he's sincere about it. And I know he's sincere about it, you know? And if I ask him how it's going, I better really listen to him. Don't say, how's life going, Ben? I don't really care. How's it going, Ben? You know, don't have that attitude. And
right.
That. I mean, and I understand where he's at, and sit down and talk a little bit, but that's my opinion, okay? So I'm just putting my sense out there. But, you know, I had more time marking who I call. My top best friends, I would call them come right now. I call Scott, I know I'll get a voicemail. I call the other one, I'll get a voicemail. He'll call me back tomorrow, but it'll leave a message. But you know, it is, you got to think about it. I mean, and if you can't trust your family members, which I've been here since the doors opened, and for me to say that is scary. If I would get in this church, I would call. I would call here.
And I think, Bob, I think it's, you're right. I mean, with the ministries, and I said, no phoniness. I wish I would have helped more since I've been here in the soup kitchen. You get caught up making an excuse doing other stuff. And not that it's, you do. I'm sorry. I mean, I got a family, I got other stuff. But I could have got down there. But the times I did, guys, that's what's cool. The times I do push myself, man, it's the greatest blessing from God. It really was. And it's the devil that says, you know, it puts it in your mind not to go do something. And so you got other stuff to do. But it is. I think that's something we're actually, it's not something, a chore that we're missing out on. I think it's a blessing we're missing out on. If, I don't know how much we're involved. We might be greatly involved in them. May not be. But I know for a fact, Chase helped with them in New Haven, the bread ministry last year, went up to the church. We think it's a task. It's such a blessing when you get involved in people's lives and start helping them. That's how we were created to do, guys. It really is such a blessing. And it encourages one another to see us down there doing that. You know, I mean, if we can make excuses if most of us don't go. But if one starts going, you know, it kind of encourages another to go. And another, it'll catch on. That's why, you know, I'm hoping this right here kind of catches on. Because I do think about growth. My mindset is on us right here growing together in love. But, of course, I want to see God's sheep multiply more sheep. Now, if somebody came in here tonight, how would they feel? I don't know. I would like to think that they thought, man, that's a pretty straight-up place. Like, that's a place I may be able to go in and get loved. And, you know, I don't have to put on a front over there. Like, somebody walked in, they can't leave their pain and their life and their history at the door. They bring it all in with them. And they're already got the defenses up, you know. And if they see us loving like this and welcome them in, all of us, you know, welcome them in like that. I mean, I think we could grow, just talking about growth. I think if we had that early church mentality, that China mentality now, straight love is the first focus, the main focus, love for each other, love for God. I think you have to lock the doors up. You got so many people in these streets, I ride by and see them, and I've seen one up close today with Bob, a young man. It breaks my heart, guys. There's so many people needing help in here, but also out there. We need each other, but those people out there need Jesus, and we're Jesus' only team. We're not the bench warmers. We're not. Jesus has a starting team, and we're it. So I love y'all if y'all haven't got that message yet. And like I say, and like Bob was saying, I want to feel like that. I don't want to, especially being new up here, I don't want to feel like something happens and like, who do I call? Will I bother Dan? If, you know, will I bother Scott? I want to feel like my phone is so full and there's so much love popping out of the numbers. It's a decision who I'm not going to call when I need help. Who's going to get mad? Be like, I was over there. You should call me. Yeah. Yeah. I want that. And
first thing I thought I was calling Jimmy, and for once he answered the phone, and he helped me so much. He brought us through he just calmed me down. It was like God told me to give him a call anyway.
How did that impact you?
It impacted me a lot, but then I felt that way about this church from the time I started. I was one of the free meal people that Bob brought in.